looking forward to visiting with him. But right now, a chance to talk with our good buddy Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is the site. Alan, hope your weekend was solid and a lot to get to and talk about after what transpired yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely it was, and I appreciate you having me back, buddy.
You know, your thoughts, you know, the thing that stuck out for me, you know, there's so many different directions, the fact that Kansas City finally showed up and had a dominating performance. For me, it still goes back to what was Matt LaFleur thinking? What was he thinking at the end of the second quarter, right before halftime? What was he thinking in the fourth quarter when he has the NFL's MVP there and you take him off the field to kick a field goal? And even before that, the decision to go for two, chasing points in the third quarter, I just thought that he got totally outcoached yesterday.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And, you know, first off, we kind of saw this epidemic of, you know, going for two in really weird places all through the NFL season. I'm not against going for two, but you got to be intelligent about it, because essentially, if you're at, you know, kind of a back-and-forth game, if you miss one, buddy, you're going for two the rest of the game now. Like, you kind of dictate yourself and put yourself in that hole. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think looking at this playoffs in terms of, you know, the field goal, we kind of learned, you know, three times now, you know, from Mike Vrabel, Mike Tomlin, and Matt LaFleur that, you know, whether it's, you know, a decide to punt or decide to kick a field goal, like all three of those, that didn't work out for them. You know, the NFL truly, really does reward you for being aggressive. And, you know, you look at the Chiefs, they play extremely aggressive. You look at the Bucs, you know, with Tom Brady, they play extremely aggressive. And the NFL rewards you for that. And if you go the opposite way, that's usually a quick loss.
Well, this is a couple of things here. You know, you can be talking to Aaron Rodgers in this situation. You should be right there having two plays. Aaron, here's what's going to happen. If we don't score here, we are going for it on fourth down. So this means that Aaron should have taken off there on that third down. Even if he doesn't score, he's going to be within 2 yards, if not inside the one, if he stops short there, if he had taken off. So a lot different situation when it's fourth down and less than a yard for a score compared to what they were in. But the fact that you think you've got Tom Brady, who has led more teams to a Super Bowl as far as, you know, year by year than any other quarterback, and you don't think he's going to get one first down? I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah, it's nuts, especially when, you know, the Packers' defense yesterday looked like the Titans' defense on third down. So it's like you've got to understand they're probably going to get a first down on you. You know, it's surprising, the miscommunication.
Well, it's like going back, you said, you know, going back chasing the two. All right, so you're going against your whole thinking there, because if you're confident enough that your defense can stop Tom Brady needing a first, then here's the thing. Kick the extra point. You're down by four. Even if the Bucs go on a drive, which they end up doing, and they kick a field goal, you're still only one touchdown, an extra point from tying that game. And so, you know, you're kind of like contradicting yourself with some of the decision-making that you did. And the fact that he did not overrule, I mean, coming off of a timeout, you did not overrule your defensive coordinator as far as you really want to be in a one-on-one situation there right before halftime? How stupid is that?
Yeah, 100% agree. You know, you know, again, you know, if I'm Matt LaFleur, you know, first off, me and my quarterback are having an understanding on all of those scenarios. You're both
right,
intelligent enough to know that, right? And two, you know, I'm kind of letting Aaron Rodgers do his thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no negative in that, because even if you do end up losing the game, who in the world is going to blame you for being aggressive with Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, no media I mean, there'll be some, you know, kind of idiots out there nationalized that'll do it, but you know, people, you know, with a brain will say, yeah, I'm riding with Rodgers, you know, in this situation, right? So it's just surprising, but you're right. I mean, you know, in terms of kind of contradicting yourself, the Steelers did the same thing. They've been doing the same thing for a while with Mike Tomlin. Like, they go for two more than any other team in the NFL, and they do it frequently, and it just doesn't make any sense, you know what I mean? So I agree with you, man. Like, there's a time and place to be aggressive, and there's a time and place to just take the points. And usually after a touchdown, take the points until you absolutely need to go for two, because you're putting yourself in a hole for no reason.
The interesting thing is it's not like Bruce Arians is out coaching Matt LaFleur. It's almost like Tom Brady's out there. And yeah, so you're out thinking yourself with Tom Brady out there.
You know what? That's a great point. Johnny, that's the best point that's going to come out of this past weekend. And you know what? People have been doing that for a long time, right? Like, I mean, honestly, like, Nick Saban has kind of the same effect to where, you know, Nick Saban doesn't necessarily make, you know, large decisions. I mean, you know, the quarterback move, you know, from, to Tua, yeah, that's a massive move. But most of the time, Saban just lets you make dumb decisions, and then he makes you pay for it, right? Like, Tom Brady does the exact same thing. And, man, he has that, he just has that over people. But I don't know if he's going to have it over the Chiefs. I'll say this. My big takeaway from this weekend, excuse me, was this, that, you know, all four of these teams are based on offenses and quarterbacks. However, the teams that won, it was because they put both of the losing quarterbacks in their offenses in just really bad positions and made them look not normal. The Packers didn't look normal at all, especially in the red zone. Josh Allen didn't look normal at all. It was surprising to see that, but it was two pretty good games.
Well, you're certainly not going to look normal if all of a sudden you find yourself down 28-10 if you're the whatever that's, or 28-17, oh, whatever the score was. And how about the Bills? So they score the first nine. They score the final nine, right, at one point before, you know, Chiefs went on that, what, 31-6 run in between. The fact that they had 2 9-point swings there and yet nothing really to show for it as far as the W. And even how stupid, look, you know, I understand that they've already given up, but you stop the Chiefs one more time, you're getting the ball back, and yet you can't keep your head about you. You're still trying to inflict stupid penalties upon your team. I mean, yeah, that's one way not to give your team a chance.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was just surprising, you know, I mean, for, you know, to see the Bills like that, to where, you know, we want to talk about being aggressive. I mean, just a week ago, we're looking at a Bills team. They started, what, an AFC divisional game. I don't think they called a run play for like the first 18 plays. You know, like, it was really surprising to me that they weren't just going all out. The problem for them is this, is that they finally ran into the issue where if you have zero run game, the defenses are going to absolutely cheat towards the secondary, right?
And right, absolutely.
It's not that they played horrifically, but I was kind of surprised that Josh Allen wasn't running the ball even more, just to keep them honest. But, I mean, credit the Chiefs, man. Like, Patrick Mahomes, this is the fourth time in the playoffs that they've been down by 9 or more points and come back to win by 9 or more points. It's incredible how deficits just do not matter to them. And when they start putting it on you, it comes in a wave. And you look up, you're like, whoa, like, that was 28 points quick. It's incredible to watch them do that.
You know, it's interesting, all the talk that, oh, this is not fair. Tampa Bay gets the host of the Super Bowl. Maybe we should find ways to change the rules. And it's like, okay, this is the 55th Super Bowl. This is the first time in the history it's happened. Tampa Bay is not going to have a home field advantage. There's just not enough folks in there, right? So you don't have to change anything. Once every 55 years if something happens, that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. And look, they've won three straight playoff road games to get there.
Right, so absolutely.
It's not like they had some, you know, easy road. And let me say this, of all the years to play at your home stadium, this is the worst because the Chiefs aren't going to get down there until a day before the game. You're not going to have the Super Bowl media week hoopla and, you know, Patrick Mahomes is out every night at events and et cetera, things like that. Like, this is just a normal road game. So, in all actuality, like, this is the worst year to do it. You really don't get any advantage whatsoever.
Yeah, we're not going to have a situation where Joe Namath gets tired of being asked as he's lounging by the pool after practice. So he's lounging at the pool that the Jets are staying in, and he's getting annoyed. Everybody's talking about how bad the Colts are going to beat the Jets by 17 or 18 because that's what they were favored by, and that's when he guaranteed the victory. Primarily, it's like, you know, we're better than this. And the other thing, I'm sick and tired of hearing it. So we're not going to get that if you're arriving like the day before the Super Bowl this year.
No, not at all. You know, I mean, it's crazy to think. I mean, you know, we've all seen how, you know, how long that Super Bowl week is. The Chiefs are only going to be in Tampa for 24 hours max. Like, they're not going to be there long at all. So, I mean, there's just no added advantage for Tampa Bay whatsoever.
You know, it'd be interesting to see, too, just how, and, you know, this will be one of these things after the fact because, you know, leading up to the Super Bowl, you know, when you're in the pregame warm-ups, you realize I'm in the Super Bowl. And you wonder, I'll be interested to see, you know, in conversations after the game, how many of these players really, I mean, because I go back to the Titans game with Baltimore as far as this year in the wild card game, and there was nothing about that atmosphere that felt like a playoff game in the NFL. And so I'll be really interested to, I mean, everybody understands it's the Super Bowl, but will it feel like it when they're actually on the field before the kickoff and during the game? Those are the kind of conversations I can't wait to, you know, hear the results of, you know, after the fact.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that. You're exactly right. Like, I mean, you know, usually when, you know, when the Super Bowl's kicking off, I mean, you get the flicker, you know, of all the cameras and the lights and everything. Like, there's only going to be, what, 25%, 30%, you know, of fans that are there. Probably going to be local people, you know, and a lot of corporate people, because those tickets are going to be outrageously expensive. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but I didn't even think about that point. You're exactly right. Yep, I completely agree.
So does this end the argument? And I had this conversation even prior to Tom Brady making it back to another Super Bowl, but I was talking with Jim McBride, the longtime Patriots beat writer for the Boston Globe, and he, and you know, they want to think about the fact that if you, you know, break up that pizza, then a third of the success for the Patriots goes to Robert Kraft, a third goes to Bill Belichick, a third goes to Tom Brady. You know, that's nice, but the reality is there's nothing close to it. I mean, Tom Brady certainly owned the legacy, and I think that this year serves as an exclamation point on that exact fact.
Yeah, it does. You know, and let me say this. I mean, you know, Robert Kraft is going to go down as the best owner in NFL history because of those numbers. Belichick's going to go down as the best head coach because of those numbers. And Brady's obviously the greatest player of all time. And let me say this. If anybody wants to question that, I'm going to hit you with this stat. He started 19 seasons in the NFL. He's going to play in his 10th Super Bowl. That means that in his career, he's made the Super Bowl more often than he has not made the Super Bowl. That's insanity. Like, that is insanity. I've never heard of a stat like that in my life. All this dude, all he has done is win. It's incredible.
How about the teams just wanting to make it to a conference championship game? I mean, 14, right? 14 conference championship game appearances.
Yeah.
I mean, here's Aaron Rodgers now after the Super Bowl win, four straight losses in NFC championship games. He would love to just to be able to make it to one more.
Just make it to one, right? And you know the crazy thing with this is after the Bucks and Packers game and Tampa Bay won, I was sitting there thinking, like, if I were a Bills fan and we win this game and then we have to go play Tom Brady, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like we cannot get away from this dude. It's just nuts, man. The guy literally is the epitome of success.
You know, here's the thing. We talked about when Tom Brady worked that out to, you know, join Tampa Bay. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, we get the news that Rob Gronkowski is coming aboard, too. But did you, you know, look, I knew he had weapons. Are you a little surprised that they made it this year to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, incredibly surprised. Like, this Bucs team wasn't bad, but this Bucs team wasn't good. You know what I mean? Like, before Tom Brady, like, they're just kind of in the middle. They were a decent football team. And, I mean, them, you know, going, you know, to the playoffs and winning a game, I thought would have been an unbelievable year for them. It's the first year of doing this. They're going to the Super Bowl, and they might win. Like, it is incredible how quickly that all of this came together. If they end up winning the Super Bowl, we're going to talk about this year and what Tom Brady accomplished forever. It's just nuts. This just doesn't happen in the NFL. Like, you might be good. You might be the Phillip Rivers and the Colts, you know, and go to the playoffs. But the Colts were a better team than the Bucs were, you know, before each quarterback got there. It's just incredible that they're going to a Super Bowl.
I mean, look at Leonard Fournette. I mean, they didn't have him early. I mean, the fact that, I mean, what he did, that the video game move that he made after Godwin's catch, I mean, with the spin and everything else for his touchdown scamper, I mean, it just seems like when Tom Brady's on the field, if you're part of that offense, even when you make mistakes, even when you drop passes, you know, you want to make up for it. And Godwin did, because the play before, he had dropped a pass, and then he makes that spectacular catch to set up that touchdown. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, when Brady's on the field, if you're part of that offense, you all of a sudden play to the best of your ability.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, Brady has that Michael Jordan quality in this, that if you're on his team, you always have a shot. Like, you believe. You truly believe. You know what I mean? And it's amazing what that can do for you. Now, I'm not saying that we're not saying that it's all Tom Brady. I mean,
no,
you know,
that's not what I'm saying at all either.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they've got good pieces, and those guys, you know, put in the effort. But, like, there's just something to be said that when you have an ultimate leader like that, like, you just never quit, and you always believe that you can win the game. And when you have that mentality, buddy, you probably can win almost every game, and Brady is showing that year after year.
The interesting thing on the NFC side, you know, you could literally circle four or five teams that could be in the position that the Buccaneers find themselves in today. On the AFC, you know, for a while there, you know, you wondered if the door was open as far as maybe Kansas City, not as hungry as they were the year before. They kind of shut that door yesterday. To me, there's a bigger difference on the AFC side of things between the Chiefs and everybody else compared to the NFC, where I think, you know, you could have really literally circled four or five teams that could be playing in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the chase that the AFC has to catch up with the Chiefs, good luck. I mean, what, Patrick Mahomes in his last 26 games, he's 25-1. Like, what?
Let that sink in. Yeah, let that sink in for just a second.
Yeah, he's 25-1. I mean, they just win. And here's the thing. You know, we were just talking about, you know, Brady and the Bucs and, you know, players, you know, always thinking that you could win. The Chiefs almost play better when they spot you 10 points. Like, they almost kind of need that kick in the rear. Like, okay, all right, now we got to get going. And then you look up, and they're just gashing you for 15, 16, 17-yard plays over and over and over. And the hard part is this, is that the Chiefs, they just seemingly always have one more guy that you can cover, right? Like, they just have one more. And the minute that you think you're going to bring Mahomes down, Kelsey's running right across the field, or Watkins, or Hardeman, or Hill. You know, now they've got run game, too. Like, it's they're just incredible, man. So, yeah, long story short, I agree with you. I don't know who – if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and they could keep a lot of these pieces together – buddy, I don't know who's catching them, because every other team, even, you know, really good teams that made the playoffs, they have a lot of work to do just to catch up to them.
I was going to ask you that, this very next question. First of all, the Colts to me, with the money that they have available, I like the Colts situation. If Rivers was coming back for one more year, now it's like, okay, what are you going to do? And then, you know, I think about the Tennessee Titans and knowing what they have on the field, and knowing they have some big questions, and knowing that they're in trouble as far as the salary cap is concerned. Can the Titans improve enough where they look like the Chiefs on the field?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Derrick Henry's that type of player, right? Like, you know, he's a superstar of the game, and they've obviously got, you know, a ton of other pieces, you know, Tannehill and A.J. Brown. You know, what the Titans have to do is they've got to get that pass rush figured out. Because once they do, and if they can get that to just a good level, it's going to change the secondary so much. Like, just that alone. And then if you add a couple more pieces, like, we're not saying that the Chiefs are unbeatable. But, you know, teams like the Titans, like the Colts, like the Ravens, like, they're going to have to get to just optimum, maximum level. And you're going to have a little luck in the draft, too. But, you know, we're not saying they're not beatable. But you're gonna have to do your homework, because they already did. And that lead in the race is getting further and further.
You know, everybody assumes Jacksonville, Allen, going to take Trevor Lawrence, quarterback coming out of Clemson. I don't know if you saw what Brett Favre said over the weekend, that Devontae Smith reminds him of Randy Moss. If the Jaguars do indeed take Trevor Lawrence, how foolish do the Jets look if they don't take Devontae Smith? There's no guarantees, obviously, but if he's Randy Moss down the road, as far as what he was able to do, as far as in Randy Moss's career, if Devontae Smith can be that guy, if you're the Jets, would you go that direction?
Absolutely. And this is going to sound crazy, but think about it, and it's not. The supply and demand of a Devontae Smith is the supply is less than quarterbacks, and usually it's the other way around. But there are quarterbacks to be had all over. You know, so I don't even know how I feel about Justin Fields to begin with, but I know how I feel about Devontae Smith, right?
Right.
Like, I can find a Justin Fields. Shoot, they might have a Justin Fields and Sam Darnold, and they both might not be that good. But I know exactly what I'm getting in Devontae Smith. So, yeah, I completely agree with that. Forget the quarterback part. I might be able to luck out into Mac Jones in the second round, but I'm not finding another Devontae Smith. That guy doesn't exist.
Alan, one more question before we let you go. It looks like, I mean, we could have Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson. We could have Aaron Rodgers, all with new teams as far as 2021. How do you think this all plays out?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'll say this. You know, I heard, you know, kind of all weekend, I'm sure you did too, Titans fans that were worried about the Colts trading for Stafford. I mean, yeah, Stafford's pretty good. I'd be worried about the Colts trading for Aaron Rodgers.
That's the one right there. I'm totally on board with that one. That would be the one where I could see happening.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he would be a perfect fit for there. The Packers wouldn't mind it because it gets him out of the NFC. Yeah, I would be concerned about that. I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson, we'll see. It seems like, think about the Jets. I mean, it might be something like that where they make a trade elsewise, and you compare him, you know, with Devontae Smith. It's going to be an interesting offseason. You know, the 49ers, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo, we might see some movement there. Carson Wentz, you know, possibly, who knows. This offseason is going to be fantastic.
I'd be concerned if the Jets find a way to get Deshaun Watson, that means they give up their first-round draft pick, and that's what I would be concerned about.
Yeah, you know, that's the concern for sure. And again, like, that now, that's the real conversation. Would I rather have Deshaun Watson or Devontae Smith? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
I'm thinking Devontae Smith, but we'll see how this all plays out. Hey, we'll definitely be in touch with you. You know, we've got a few days to worry about the Super Bowl, but until then, remind everybody what they can expect as far as Sportsline.com.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so obviously, you know, we're getting everybody ready for the Super Bowl, and we cover every other sport: NHL, NBA, college basketball. We're already breaking down, you know, the notes and items that you need to know, you know, for the Super Bowl. I'll give you one right here. The team entering the Super Bowl with the worst record has won 10 of the last 12 Super Bowls, right? So we're going to get you set on all of these picks, spreads, totals, props, et cetera, you name it. So, yeah, hit sportsline.com, and we'll have you covered all the way up to kickoff.
That means Tom Brady has another one for his second hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, they were 11-5 in the regular season, Chiefs 14-2, so Tom Brady just has another. You know, he can adopt me and send me a ring. I'll take one. I'll just, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Hey, you too, man. Thanks so much for having me.